This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Off the top, just want to thank my colleague Tanner Wallace Scribner for filling in for me on Thursday and Friday last week while I took care of some business. Happy to be back in the saddle for today. And speaking of business to take care of, there's a few things to cover. The spread of avian flu in U.S. dairy cows continues to be closely monitored. Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com had thoughts on that particular issue as well as other topics from the previous week during Friday's roundtable. And Prairie Clean Energy got approval from the provincial government for a new investor tax credit. More on that later in the show. And the farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. Coming up first, following the break, is the first story on avian flu and its continuing spread on dairy cows and how that's continuing to be closely monitored.
This is SaskAg Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
SaskAg Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Research scientists are closely monitoring the spread of avian influenza in U.S. dairy cattle. Over the past 2 weeks, H5N1 has been confirmed in cows from 16 herds in 6 states. That includes Texas, where a dairy farm employee tested positive with mild symptoms. The worker's only symptom was eye inflammation, and viral levels in their nose were low, suggesting that they did not have a respiratory infection. Health officials say the threat to people remains very low, but the situation is being closely monitored. Dr. Rosemary Sifford with the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service had this to say.
We have epidemiologists who are working with producers to gather up information, and we're working with our state animal health officials to get samples into the lab for testing. All of that information helps us to understand much more clearly what role high-path avian influenza is playing in this overall illness in dairy cattle and what we can do to more effectively prevent it in the future.
Dr. Sifford explains the symptoms that have appeared in U.S. dairy cattle with avian flu.
The primary symptoms in dairy cattle are loss of appetite going off feed and then a dramatic drop in milk production. And some of the cattle occasionally showed a slight fever.
The cattle have been recovering, so while the herds are being monitored, no depopulation has occurred.
So far, it appears that the cattle are able to recover after a couple of weeks, go back into the milking herd, and so at this point, we do not expect to depopulate cattle.
In 1996, the influenza strain called H5N1 was first detected in birds in China. It has been spreading in birds since 2021, killing hundreds of millions of domestic and wild birds around the world, including here in Canada. Since February of 2022, more than 82 million farmed birds have been culled due to avian flu, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The American poultry industry produces more than 9 billion chickens and turkeys each year. We're going to continue on that topic following the break as the chief agricultural editor of SaskAgToday.com, Kevin Hirsch, had a few thoughts on the issue and a whole lot more. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, crop insurance at cost. See municipalhail.ca. The avian flu outbreak in U.S. dairy cows has been having an impact on cattle markets right across North America. That was the first topic of discussion on Friday's SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch.
I would think it's something that we should all keep an eye on. Who would have ever thought that avian flu would become a problem in dairy cattle in multiple states? And then you might say, well, how does dairy ever relate to the beef industry? But of course, there's a lot of dairy that you know, that's their ultimate use for cull cows is into the beef industry. So everything is related. And I think the markets have shown just a little bit of hesitancy in the U.S., wondering how this is all going to unfold. Hopefully it's nothing serious and all blows over and there's not any more shoes to drop when it comes to this. But I think it's something that really will bear watching in the weeks ahead.
He says that's why this might be a great time for cattle producers to get in on the livestock price insurance program.
And there's so many things that can happen between, you know, calves are starting to hit the ground now, depending on the farming operation, and some people calve later than this, but a lot of them market in October and November, December. And the fact that cattle prices have been so high and calf prices have been so high that you can lock in a profitable price at a premium. There's a premium cost to locking in a floor price. But if you look at things that have gone sideways before, we're old enough to remember the BSE crisis when prices crashed. Maybe this avian flu thing will take a turn for the worse. The border, people still worry about it being closed due to something like foot and mouth disease. So if I'm not a cow-calf producer, but if I was, I'd be seriously watching the premiums and the coverage levels under livestock price insurance and scratching my head over whether to enlist some coverage before the deadline in June to enact a floor price.
On another topic, Hirsch says the April 1st increase in the federal carbon tax is having a significant impact on agriculture producers.
I think there's the carbon tax influences producers in a number of ways that most of us don't even notice. Gasoline and diesel is exempt from the carbon tax for farm use. Natural gas and propane for grain drying is not. That's an obvious cost if you're drying grain. But the carbon tax also applies to rail movement of grain. And that freight cost, that's paid by the grain companies, but it's reflected back into a lower price for producers. Fertilizer manufacturing is subject to all sorts of carbon taxes that ends up in the final price of fertilizer. So there are many calculations to be done, and it's good to see APAS actually try to put some numbers to the extent of this, because the narration is that, oh, most people get more money back in rebates than they pay in carbon tax. Well, that may be true for especially low and middle income Canadians, but for businesses like farms, it's certainly not the case. We're many, many thousands of dollars behind.
He also commented on the Water Security Agency's report last week that nearly three quarters of reservoirs are at good levels, except for those in the Southwest.
We were actually a little lucky, and I don't know how widespread it was, but right at Cabri, I wasn't down, but the neighbors say that maybe about half an inch of rain, which is nice to have. But of course, that isn't going to change the picture or change reservoirs. But there are some, especially irrigation reservoirs in the southern part of the province, southwestern part of the province. And if they don't fill up, that will be bad news, especially for some hay production in that area. It is interesting to note that, as I understand the report, the level of Lake Diefenbaker is actually something like a meter higher than it was at last year this time. And there's a lot of the environmental types running around saying, oh gosh, we shouldn't increase irrigation. We might not have enough water. Well, I think it's a crime not to use the water we have in Lake Diefenbaker and use it properly. That great resource should not be wasted. And it allows water to be managed in Saskatchewan. But certainly, moisture will continue to be a concern over a large part of the prairie region as we go through the weeks ahead and get closer to spring seeding.
That's Kevin Hirsch, the chief agricultural editor for SaskAgToday.com. His comments coming from the SaskAgToday.com roundtable, which you can find on the 620 CKRM YouTube page every Friday afternoon, as well as on SaskAgToday.com. Coming up next on the program, we have Ag Review with Doug Faulkner, followed by Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and Migraine Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to migraineexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Opposition to the federal price on pollution has ramped up as several premiers call for a meeting with the prime minister to discuss the issue. Many have opposed carbon pricing since it was implemented in 2019, but the rhetoric has been heating up due to cost of living pressures. The hike in the consumer levy earlier this month added 3.5 cents to a liter of gasoline. Farmers do have an on-farm fuel exemption, but say the carbon price affects their costs throughout the supply chain. Saskatchewan has estimated its farmers will pay $137 million this year. The price rose from $65 per metric ton to $80 on April 1st and is projected to be $170 per metric ton by 2030. Despite the exemption, farmers still pay the tax on heating fuel, electricity, natural gas and propane for grain drying, and the indirect cost from others such as transporters. Alberta's irrigation district managers are proposing a $5 billion plan for water storage and conservation in the province's south as the region faces increasingly tight supplies of the vital resource. The plan is contained in a newly released report from the Alberta Irrigation Districts Association. It says lands drained by the South Saskatchewan River will face more pressure on their water supplies as the province's population grows and climate change continues to bite. Association Director Margot Rettleback says the region will probably still have enough water in years to come, but she says it will probably come at different times of the year or will drain away as runoff instead of being released slowly by melting glaciers or snow. Her group is proposing 8 water storage projects or improvements to even out that availability, as well as new wetlands to absorb water flowing through. CN and CPKC Rail supply to combine 74% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 35, a notable improvement from the 60% order fulfillment performance seen in Week 34. CN saw a modest improvement in performance, while CPKC saw a significant improvement as compared to the prior week. In supplying 70% of cars ordered by shippers in Week 35, CN saw performance improve from the 63% order fulfillment performance seen in Week 34. CN performance remains below the 90% performance threshold for the 13th consecutive week. CPKC performance improved considerably from the prior week, with the railway supplying 79% of shipper orders in Week 35 as compared to 58% in the prior week. CPKC performance remains below the 90% threshold for the 11th consecutive week. China's drive to boost grain production has entered a bottleneck where it's difficult to increase production further as Beijing launched a new drive to raise domestic output by 50 million metric tons by 2030. The world's largest grains importer reported a record corn crop last year and bumper harvests of other grains, but continues to aim for greater output amid rising tensions with some trade partners, climate-related disasters, and military conflicts. Production of crops such as soybeans, corn, wheat, and rice is being restricted by a shortage of labor, an aging farm workforce, a lack of arable land, the small scale of production units, and a lack of farming technology. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Falconer.
It's your SaskAg Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, what do we got going for the forecast today and for this week?
Well, mainly a sunny sky today. Most of this week the same. Just a couple of little hiccups along the way. One, of course, being the moon passing by a little bit today, blocking out a little of the sun, a few clouds as well. Tomorrow, not too much. Wednesday, a little more cloudiness. Even we'll throw in the chance of a shower. The fact that I'm mentioning a shower doesn't mean there's actually going to be rain. It just means a brief light shower is possible. And that's pretty much the worst we would expect for precipitation through this week. We've got mostly dry conditions. The atmosphere itself is running pretty dry too. Dew point barely above zero this afternoon. So as the temperature climbed up to around 14 with that sunshine, the humidity fairly low, get it down to around 40 or even 35%. Tonight, partly cloudy sky, dropping off to zero. The wind, which is already fairly light, becomes nearly calm overnight. And tomorrow, mostly sunny sky, the high around 14. Mild temperatures starting off the week. With that extra cloudiness Wednesday, maybe a passing shower. The temperature backing down a bit, 10 degrees. Chance of rain at 30%. Measurable amounts, it could be measurable, but not likely more than a millimeter or so. Thursday, mostly sunny sky, back up to 11, and then that cool down ends, and we climb up to 17 on Friday. That looks to begin a stretch of pretty warm conditions right into the weekend and early week. Some signs show a little hiccup in that, though, toward the middle part of next week. Maybe temperatures backing off a bit by the time we get to there.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for this time of year, 10 degrees. The lows, minus 4. The sun rose in Regina at around 6:18 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:43 tonight. Taking a look around the province in Assiniboia, Estevan, Moosomin, and Weyburn, 11 degrees. Saskatoon is at 9, Swift Current 5, Yorkton and Melville are at 8 degrees. The hot spot in the province is in Prince Albert at 14, and the cool spot in Rocklin at 5.1. In Regina, it's a partly cloudy sky, southeast wind at 13 to 35 kilometers an hour, humidity at 43%, temperature at 12 degrees or 53 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 101.0 and falling. Moose Jaw, also partly cloudy, west-northwest wind at 13, temperature also 12 degrees. Again in Regina, partly cloudy, southeast wind at 13 to 35, temperature at 12 degrees. After the break, we'll hear a little bit from Prairie Clean Energy as they announced that they were recently approved by the provincial government for new investor tax credit. We'll hear all about how big of a deal that is, what their long-term plans are, and how anyone can get involved in investing. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com. And Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Saskatchewan-based company Prairie Clean Energy was recently approved for a new investor tax credit through the Saskatchewan Technology Startup Incentive Program. Chief Strategy Officer and co-owner of Prairie Clean Energy, Britta Lind, says the investors will get a 45-cent tax credit for every dollar invested into Prairie Clean Energy, adding the goal is to raise $2.5 million.
In this raise, we have a $2.5 million target, and so we're about halfway on that target. So this last million from the STI incentive would just be really helpful for us. So we already have an existing facility that we're leasing in the northern part industrial area of Regina, and then the money's going to be used for purchasing the equipment to place into that facility so that we can start pelletizing the flax straw and have the only flax straw processing facility in North America, right here in Saskatchewan.
One of the requirements to invest is you need to be accredited in Saskatchewan.
And we can walk people through that too to make sure that they're an accredited investor. You don't need anything, you don't have to fill out anything to be an accredited investor. It's just there's some parameters around there. And then just talk with us and we'll walk you through the process. and it's a minimum $50,000 investment, a maximum $500,000 investment, and you get 45 cents on the dollar for every dollar you invest in Prairie Clean Energy. So it really de-risks or helps de-risk an investment in Prairie Clean Energy. And you get it, you know, you can reduce your taxable income with the STSI tax credit with Prairie Clean Energy.
She goes on to say they'll be purchasing more flax straw this year compared to last.
So we're also looking for people, for farmers who are growing flax to contact us and get on our database for when we're purchasing flax straw. For the most part, probably going to be purchasing within about 100 kilometers of Regina.
Lynn then explains how they use the flax straw from farmers.
We buy flax straw from farmers, and then we pelletize it into biomass fuel and other uses that help lower greenhouse gas emissions, help the environment, create more jobs here in Saskatchewan, and also create high value for investors and for our province in general. So it's a really exciting story. And so when people are investing in it, they're investing in, like, you know, flax farmers actually getting two crops in a way out of their flax, right? If we, you know, buying the flax straw from them really helps producers, because we know what a pain it is for producers, you know, the straw is and how hard it is to deal with.
CEO of Prairie Clean Energy, Mark Cooper, says in a news release, when the Regina processing facility is open, it employs between 25 to 30 people. More information on how to invest in the company can be found on the Prairie Clean Energy website. We'll take another break here on the program. Sask Ag Today will return right after the break.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. A number of farmers in southern Alberta posted on X this past weekend. This is the best start to spring they've had in recent memory. Rain and heavy wet snow hit many regions this past weekend for some. It was the third or fourth storm in the past month, and it comes as seeding is beginning in the deep south around Lethbridge. One farmer near Lethbridge posted a picture saying they got their first barley of 2024 into the ground, and that was right before the most recent storm hit. Meanwhile, Alberta's ag minister says the government is continuing to work with farmers, ranchers, municipalities, and irrigation districts to ensure there's enough water to go around this spring and summer. RJ Sigurdsson says he remains optimistic this growing season will be productive. A short time ago, the minister held a news conference in Calgary to announce funding for a research project. Here's part of that news conference.
Our government is focused on growing agriculture and the industry as a whole, improving its productivity, competitiveness, and working on its sustainability. Now, digital technologies like sensors, artificial intelligence, and data analytics are showing promise in contributing to this focus. However, this is new ground, and it's important that Alberta adopt these innovations in a considered, strategic manner. And that's why I'm pleased to announce that the government of Alberta is providing the Simpson Center at the University of Calgary with $1.2 million over 3 years to conduct policy research to better understand where the challenges and opportunities lie for the digitization of agriculture. Now, the Simpson Center will gather digital experts, farmers and ranchers, and producers to facilitate discussions about these digital technologies and determine how they can be adopted more effectively. Among these folks are representatives from the Alberta Beef Producers and the United Farmers of Alberta, who I'd like to thank for taking up the cause and participating in this very exciting work. This funding will improve the understanding of digital technology in agriculture amongst producers and policymakers, which will help ensure that Alberta's adoption of these technologies is strategic and done in the most effective manner possible.
That's Alberta's Agriculture Minister RJ Sigurdsson earlier this morning in Calgary. Coming up next is the market update. Looking at some of the grain prices at Viterra, they were a bit mixed this morning, followed by the livestock report. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were mixed in early trading today. Canola is down 80 cents to 609.72. Number one red spring wheat is up $1.95 to 304.58. The rest were unchanged. Durum 387.37. Feed barley 227.58. Chickpeas 992.08. Flax 629.54. Lentils 721.50. Oats 255.32. Yellow peas 474.72. And feed wheat 233.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 5.5 cents at $6.53.5 a bushel. Up next is the Livestock Report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Heartland Livestock Market Report. It's Brett Jensen reporting from the Swift Current Yards. Last week we had 1,600 head on offer, and here's how it went. Good cows, they traded from 150 to 185. Medium cows were $1.10 to 150. Heiferettes, they were trading from $2 to 245. The feeding cows were $1.70 to $2. Good bulls traded from 160 to 195. Into the feeder cattle, the four-weight steers, they were bringing 387 to 454. The five-weight steers, 366 to 449. Six-weight steers were bringing 279. 9 to 326. The 7 weights 305 to 386. 8 weight steers they traded from 285 to 325. Into the heifer trade, 5 weight heifers they brought 332 to 389. The 6 weight heifers were 384 to 351. 7 weight heifers we had lots of good replacement types on offer, 280 to 345 with sales up to 391 a pound. 8 weight heifers they were trading from 285 to 338 with some of them good replacement heifers getting up to that 351, and the 932 weights they brought 274. Upcoming sales this Thursday, April the 11th at 1 o'clock p.m. We're going to have a bred cow sale with about 100 head of good breads on offer. For further information, give us a call, 773-3174. Canada's source for quality, Heartland Livestock and Swift Current.
Now here are the latest pork prices.
This is Bill Alford with the Hams Market Commentary for Monday, April 8th. Hams sold 6,200 hogs Friday, selling a range of $206 to $225 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,400 head, selling a range of $208 to $223 per CKG. Hams cash hog price today is mixed, and four contract prices open mixed this morning. On Friday, the Canadian dollar was down 51 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3598. The Canadian dollar is currently trading 73.70 cents U.S., As suspected, managed money traders raised their lean hog long position to the second highest for the marketing week on record. While we can't conclude 100% that last week's support was entirely due to speculation, it certainly is no coincidence that prices were supported to contract highs last week. At the same time, managed money added 10,681 contracts to their portfolios. This was the fourth highest volume since the beginning of the year, and anything above 10,000 contracts in a week would absolutely move markets. The managed money net position is now at the largest going back to October of 2021. Meanwhile, producers can likely expect a two-sided and choppy trade. To be clear, it will likely chop around amid the recent highs, but propelling beyond current resistance levels will be a challenge unless a major news item develops. All lean hog futures contracts out to the end of the year are in an overbought condition. This typically means that the market could be poised for a correction lower, but as the August contract showed last month, sometimes those conditions can last for weeks. We're not calling for a sharp or deep turnaround because the fundamentals are much too supportive today, but upside potential is almost certainly limited, and there's a good value in the forwards today.
Coming up next is the Resource Report.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
This week's interest rate decision from the Bank of Canada is unlikely to jumpstart the national housing market, but economists say it may be just a matter of months until homebuyers come crawling back from the sidelines. The central bank is expected to hold its key interest rate steady for the sixth straight time Wednesday. In its latest report on national home sales and pricing data, the Canadian Real Estate Association says that February could mark, quote, the last relatively uneventful month of the year, end quote. But an RBC assistant chief economist predicts a gradual rebound later this year throughout the central bank's eventual rate-cutting cycle, rather than a major uptick in activity following its first reduction. Insolvency firm MNP says some Canadians are feeling a little more optimistic about their debt with the prospect of interest rate cuts on the horizon. Its consumer debt index shows a significant rebound in the first quarter of this year after 12 months of low scores. MNP President Grant Bazian says Canadian households are still feeling the squeeze, but more than a quarter of Canadians say they perceive their current debt situation as better than it was a year ago. On the markets, the TSX is down 18 points at 22,246. The Dow is up 19 points to 38,923. Oil is down $1.03 at $85.88 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is at 73.60 cents US. And that's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's Monday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.